I invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. The first verse says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you are dead." Usually begin with the introduction, and the introduction is going to be something about the city in which this church was located. Because I want to go back about, 700 years before John wrote this letter to the Christians at Sardis. To give you a backdrop, a historical reference that I think has ramifications for these Christians to whom Jesus is speaking now, or then in the first century. And it also can help us apply the message that Jesus wants us to have as well. You see, 700 years prior to this, Sardis was one of the truly great cities of the world. The king of Lydia ruled over Sardis at this point. It had magnificence, luxury, and nearly unlimited wealth. One of the things that gave Sardis its wealth was the gold that was found in a nearby river. It was also a powerful military post. And in the backdrop of the PowerPoint here, you'll see a hill with some very steep cliffs with part of an ancient wall there. And that's an ancient wall of Sardis. And this was the Acropolis, the upper part of the city. And on three sides, it had these sharp, steep cliffs, which made the city nearly impossible to overtake. Guards being posted along these walls could see for miles and see if there was an enemy approaching. In 539 BC, or 549 rather, Cyrus of Persia came through this area and wanted to overtake this city of Sardis. But he saw what he was up against. This wall on top of this Acropolis and steep cliffs. How am I going to get up there to overtake this city? So he offered a reward to any soldier who could devise a way to get into that city. One of the soldiers in the army of Cyrus noticed the composition of the rock, that it had cracks and faults in it. And he kept watching and observing. And on one occasion, he noticed one of the Sardian soldiers on top of this wall. His helmet fell off and over the wall and down that cliff. And he watched as that soldier apparently made through a crack in the wall and down one of those faults, came out and picked up his helmet and climbed back up the same way. Here's this soldier. He sees, aha, there is a way to get up there. And during the night, he and several other soldiers made their way up that fault line through the walls of Sardis as the guards lay sleeping and were able to open the gate to the city. And the city fell that night. That was 549 B.C., A nearly identical thing would happen in 216 B.C. Different people involved, but the same type approach and the same victory by the same means occurred. And by the time John wrote what Jesus told him to write to the Christians there in Sardis, the city was wealthy again. And I'm sure they felt like the city had in previous years. They felt, we're wealthy, we're proud, and no one can overtake us. That attitude prevailed over this prosperous city, even when Jesus sent this message through John. What did Jesus say to the church at Sardis for a commendation? Notice again in verse 1. "I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." You have a name that you are alive. You have a reputation for being a good church, a working church. You have a reputation. Notice that it doesn't say, he didn't specify whether the deeds that he says, I know your deeds, I know your works. He didn't say if they were good or bad, but just pointed out they had a reputation for being a live church. Verse 4, there's more of a commendation. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There were a few Christians there in Sardis, in this prosperous city, that had not defiled themselves with the things of the world, that hadn't allowed the world, the prosperity and the affluence and the feeling of we don't need anything and we're self-sufficient, didn't allow those types of attitudes and even the sins that were known in that community to affect their lives. There were a few Christians in that church who had not defiled their garments, Jesus says, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. But notice that Jesus is saying there was a tiny minority of Christians in that church who are still living faithfully to him. Notice the criticism. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. But here's Jesus' assessment. But you are dead. But you are dead. Dave Reddick says one time he found a large beetle on the sidewalk. And it wasn't moving, and so he picked it up and he looked at it. And as he held it between his thumb and his finger, its outer shell just collapsed and turned to dust. It was hollow inside. Some other creature had managed to take out all of the insides of that insect. And now there was only the outer shape of what it once had been. It may have looked like it was alive, but it was dead. That was the state of the church at Sardis. It looked whole. It had that reputation of being a church that's alive. But Jesus said, you're dead. What was the problem? Apparently, the major problem at this church at Sardis was apathy. Apathy. The word apathy comes from two words, ah, meaning without, and pathy, referring pathos to feelings. Without feeling. Perhaps they were going through the motions, and that's why the outer shell, what it would look like on the exterior from the outside looking in, they're a church that's alive, that's doing things. They're alive. But inside, they were empty. They were lifeless. They were dead. They were without feeling. Apathy is unconcern. It's disinterest. It's carelessness. It can include negligence or indifference. Spiritual numbness. The members of the Church of Christ in Sardis had a name that they were alive, but Jesus says, you're dead. You have no passion anymore for the things of God. It's a dreadful thing because there were only a few of that church that seemed to care anymore. Only a few who didn't have their garments stained. But the majority of the church was dead. Dead because of apathy. That was the driving force in that congregation. All those who are apathetic share at least one thing in common. Their lives develop cracks that become unguarded. Ultimately, if they do not wake up from their sleep, they are entirely overthrown by the enemy. You see the connection now from history. How that guard of Cyrus, Saul, how that soldier from Sardis made his way down the cliff and back up again. And that was the point. That was the weak spot. That's how the enemy got in and overtook the city. Apathy has the same idea. There's a crack that becomes unguarded where the enemy makes his way in. I'm wondering if Jesus is speaking to you and to me. Was there a time when you and I were on fire for the Lord? When we just couldn't wait to tell others about Jesus? Was there a time in our lives as Christians that prayer was pray without ceasing? No problem. We were ever aware of God and His abounding presence, and we were quick to say a prayer often. And there was a time when we couldn't wait to come and worship God and be with our fellow Christians and enjoy that fellowship and really be in tune to the needs of other people and want to reach out to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who may be in need. But we've lost some of that. We've lost our enthusiasm for serving Christ by serving other people. It seems that the enemy has made his way in, and we're struggling with sin. And we tend to indulge in our weaknesses. That's how it happens. How can a person escape apathy? How can we get out of that and do what we know we want to do when we want to be on fire for the Lord and want to serve Him? And we want to be a Christian through and through. How do we get out of that? That's what Jesus is teaching here. He tells these Christians at Sardis, the majority of which were apathetic, they were dead. He says there's five things you need to do. And let's look at his counsel together this morning. Verses 2 and 3. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Notice five things he says. The first one, be watchful. That's New King James. Other versions state it, and I like this, wake up. I think about those sleeping soldiers as Cyrus' army made up their way through that crack and through the wall, and were able to open up the walls, the door of the city gate. The soldiers were sleeping. They let the enemy in. Jesus says, if you would overcome apathy, we've got to wake up. This is a death. This is a sleep from which we can awake if we choose to. Be alert. Open your eyes. Slap yourself awake. Wake up, he says. Secondly, he says, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. You see, apathy always causes a loss. Our spiritual gas tank, if you will, is dangerously low. We're running on fumes. We need to strengthen the things that remain. We need to do those things that we have engaged in the past when we were strong in our relationship with God, strong in our zeal for serving Him. We need to resurrect our prayer life. We need to look forward and make opportunities to associate with other Christians, to draw strength from them and they from us. Because when we find that these things are waning and lacking in our lives, when the enemy has made his way in and we begin to feel apathetic, what happens is we begin to feel guilty. When we're convicted of this, and in response to that guilt, we're either going to turn back, we're either going to wake up and do those things that will strengthen us, or we're going to ignore that guilty conscience and begin to rationalize our behavior. Let's ask ourselves, has apathy crept into my life? Jesus also said, remember. Remember what you have received and heard. He's talking about the word of God that had been taught to them. Remember those things that you have learned. Time away from anything brings forgetfulness and unfamiliarity. And he's saying, remember those things. Renew your study of the word of God so that those truths can be resurrected in your own heart. Remember that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Remember that sin will keep you out of heaven, but there's a Savior who died for you so that you can go to heaven. Remember that you need guidance in your life. And that's why God gave us His Word. Jesus would say next, hold fast. Obey it. Keep it, He's saying. Don't let what you have slip away. He's teaching us how to maintain our spiritual health through the right kind of diet, and that is feeding upon the Word of God. The right kind of exercise, and that is actually doing the Word of God. Maintain your spiritual health. Hold fast. Obey the Word. Finally, Jesus says, repent. Repent. Whenever we realize we're headed down a wrong path, when it's determined that we need to make a course correction, there's a turning point. There's a turning point when we actually grab the wheel and turn around. We stop from going one direction, and we make the decision to turn and go the right direction. There's a point where you draw a line in the sand and you make up your mind you're not going to go any further on your present course, and you turn around. That point is the point of repentance. If we have found these things creeping into our hearts, into our lives, it's time for us to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not going any further. I'm going to change. I'm going to repent. And I'm going to start living for God again. Wake up. Strengthen what remains. Remember what you've received. Be determined to keep it. Repent while there is still time to overcome your apathy, Jesus is saying. Therefore, if you will not watch, if you will not wake up, Jesus says, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. But he who overcomes, verse 5, shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is one of those lessons that I can't complete in one sermon. Next week, Lord willing, I want us to consider, okay, Jesus has looked at this church at Sardis, these Christians, the majority of which have grown apathetic. He says, you have a reputation that you're alive, but you're dead. And he tells them how to get back on course. And what would happen when they got back on course is that they would become alive again. And what I want us to consider together next week, Lord willing, is what does it mean to be alive again? What does it mean to be alive, church? And I believe the message is right before us. But before we can be alive, we have to recognize our condition as dead. That we need God's help. That we need Christ. That we need His forgiveness that's been made possible by the shedding of His blood. It may be in your walk that you're ready now to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ so that His blood can wash away your sins. You recognize that you are dead in sin, as the Bible tells us, Ephesians 2, verse 1. But that through Christ, you can be made alive. Those sins can be washed away in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4. You can be raised to walk in newness of life, even today. You can leave here knowing that your sins have been washed away, that you are now a child of God, that you are alive. For the first time, you're really alive. And some of us are longing for that day. That day that we did experience. That time in our lives when we did feel alive and on fire, but we've lost it. Can we relate to those Christians at Sardis? Have we grown apathetic? Do we need to draw that line this morning? Say, I'm not going this direction anymore. I'm going to repent, ask God to forgive me, and I'm going to start living for Him more and more beginning today. If that's the resolve of your heart this morning, if you need the prayers of the church to that end, please come right now as we stand and sing.